This is Graham Atwell welcoming you to Sounds the Bazaar live from Online Educare Berlin. It's the third of our special programmes this year from Online Educare. We're bringing you all the news of the conference, all the vibes, the atmosphere, and we're lining up some great people to interview you. Sounds the Bazaar is a Pontedusky production, and we've got a great crew lined up today. We've got two guest presenters working on the programme today, Ilona and Marin. Welcome to you both onto the programme. In addition to our usual crew, Eileen, Maria and Dirk, who's twiddling in the radio knobs there. Okay, let's go straight into interviews because we've got a crowd of people in front of us waiting to talk on the programme. And first up, Eileen's going to be talking to Marion Stevens. Over to you, Eileen.
Hello, Marion. Welcome on the show. From which institutions you are? Can you just present yourself in a quick way?
Yes. I'm Marion Stevens from the Open University in the Netherlands. And it's distance education. So it's this subject what is going on here.
Okay. And you are here to present a project called Study Coach. Can you quickly tell us what it is about?
It's an internet site, what we use to help our students in general with their study process. When they face two problems, then we help them in different ways. We created, therefore, a multimedia instrument on our website.
Okay, and the e-learning process, where do you think, where does e-learning goes? What are the new major trends for the e-learning?
I think the most important thing is networking on the with help of the internet, social networks that students help each other to get better access, better information, find ways and solutions.
And what about Second Life? It has been such a hot topic 2 years ago here on Online Educare. What do you think? Is it in or out?
In my opinion, it was 2 years hot, but at the moment, I think the world is growing, is fast speeding. It's more interesting other types of internet access.
And what about mobile communication?
It's starting. It has to. That is a point what can grow because every person at the moment has a mobile. So that will be a bigger chance for me, I think.
Okay, perfect, Marianne. Thank you for having you on the show. Back to you, Graham.
Sounds of the Bazaar live from Online Educare Berlin. Great interview. Thanks, Marianne. We're going to be going to a short musical break now, and we come back from the break. We're going to be doing an interview with Sebastian Keller, I think, about something. Okay, over into the music.
So many years gone away, stranger beneath my skin. The tape in my head plays on and on and on and on, shows me what I've become. And I've tried to forgive you so many times. I've let
Sounds of the Bazaar, live internet radio, live from Online Educare Berlin. Let's set the scene for you slightly. For those of you who don't know Educare, it's a huge conference. Around 2,200 delegates, I think they told us this year, from something like 57 countries. Interestingly, on the numbers here, I think the most of the people here are Dutch, followed by the UK, followed by Norway, followed by Finland. I'm not quite sure what those figures mean. Maybe it shows, certainly in Europe, the interest in e-learning. Anyway, we're bringing to you all the best, all the scenes which are happening, all the themes. Now, one of the big emerging themes this year is game-based learning. There's a lot of interest in how games can be used in education, and I'm delighted to say that we've got Sebastian on the programme from Celstec in the Netherlands, and Maria is going to be talking to him about game-based learning. I heard Sebastian do a presentation yesterday on the subject, and it was well interesting. So, over to you, Maria.
Okay, good morning, Sebastian. Can you please tell us a few things about first what your impressions for the conference and then what you presented yesterday?
Yeah, it's a great conference. I'm very happy to be able to be here. And I like the combination of having an interesting conference with sessions and contributions from scientists, but also having this trade show, which brings together a lot of interesting combination of people.
Was that the first time that you attended this conference?
Yes, it's the first time for me here.
Okay, so nice, positive impressions.
Yes, it was really great. Yesterday when I gave my talk about game-based learning, it was also amazing to see that the room was completely full. There was like people, important-looking people in suits who had to sit on the floor.
Oh.
It was really great.
You felt very well, I think.
Yes.
So tell us about what was your presentation.
Yeah, the presentation was about game-based learning and what kind of problems there are with game-based learning. If you want to design a learning game, then my theory is that you can actually only do it wrong because you can never satisfy all of the different aspects that you have to keep in mind for doing it. And my application, where I can make an example of, is the application of game-based learning in medical first aid training.
It was really interesting. Do you remember anything that really impressed you yesterday? Because I remember a great question that made to you. Yeah. Can you please tell us about that?
Yeah, it was a question I did not like so much, but it was very challenging. That's also true. And it was they asked me about what's the difference between a problem and a game. So what's the difference between problem-based learning and game-based learning?
Really, really interesting question, I would say.
Yeah, because I could not find a good answer right away. I had to think about it for the rest of the session. So now I had made up my mind, and I think it's the main difference is that a problem is something that you cannot just stop doing because you have to solve the problem, but you can always stop playing the game if you decide to. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't
And a problem must always have a solution and find the, and you must go to an end. But as you say, game is entertainment also, and if we don't like, we just stop it.
Yes, exactly. I can always stop and continue later or do something else.
Okay. But no stress involved. Not stress involved.
Well, exactly. Okay.
So thank you very, very much for your time. I wish you to enjoy your stay here in Berlin if you have any more time. Oh.
Yes.
And see you next year, I hope, with another great presentation this year.
Okay, I hope I see you sooner than next year. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much for that. Now, yesterday's programme, those of you who heard us yesterday will have heard Sally Reynolds telling us about the media awards which take place, the ceremony tonight. So we've been trying to hunt down somebody who's getting an award under these programmes, and we finally caught up with one. It's Philip Geeland, and I've lost on my piece of paper the organisation he's from, but no doubt he's going to tell us. But he's on a stand here. And look, I'm not always into these big commercial exhibitions, but I do feel a bit of sympathy for the people on the stands. They spent 2 days sitting there, standing there, talking endlessly to people flowing by, trying to get some interest. I think it's a very hard activity and something which adds to the conference. So I'm delighted to have, as a token of the exhibitors at this conference, Philip on. Congratulations to Philip on the award. And I know there's going to be talking to him now about what he's doing or what the award's for. Over to you.
All right. So good morning, Philip Geeland. Tell me what you do here and what is your business about, and maybe a little bit more about the award that you got.
Hi, Ilona. I'm Philip Ginan from Lingua TV, which is a web TV station for learning languages. We produce authentic videos where you can see, watch, and hear how native speakers use their language.
Okay, and what is very special about what you do?
Actually, we produce our videos ourselves. So we take professional actors and we write the scripts, and it shows daily life like you and others would use it. And it applies the language and also the culture.
Great. So you're probably very happy that you won the prize. Congratulations. Are you going to present on this tonight?
No, we were highly recommended by the Medea Award. We're very proud of it, and thank you to all of them who supported us. It's a jury of, I think, 70, 76 people from Europe, and the Medea Award is very renowned for promoting new media, especially video, in the education space. And so we're very proud, and we will be there. The ceremony is tonight, this evening, at 7 p.m. here at the Interconti at Room Tegel. And in addition, we have a little stand here right at the entrance of the hotel, and we're looking forward to see you.
Great. So I would be interested what your expectations are in concerning e-learning. What do you think the trends are going to be in the future?
Yeah, I strongly believe that there will be much more audiovisual material for learning purposes, especially videos. I think we believe in the power of video, that you can show more. It has a pedagogical advantage through textbooks. And I hope that the economy picks up and that people are picking up the trend for multimedia and e-learning.
All right. And I think this was also the trend that was discussed during Online Educa this year. How did you like Online Educa this year?
I like it very much. It's very busy. There are very interesting people from all over the world. We have talk to people here from North America, from Africa. I think the furthest was the Fiji Islands, and it's a very good program, very interesting topics, great speakers, and I love it. I love Educa, Online Educa.
All right, and what do you wish for the next year, for next year's Online Educa?
Probably more space more space for discussions, more space for ad hoc presentations. Some of the presentations, I think, could be more interactive with the audience.
Okay, thank you very much, and back to you, Graham.
You're listening to Sounds of the Bazaar. Sounds of the Bazaar live internet radio, live from Berlin, live from Online Educa Berlin. We're going to a musical break now, and we'll be back talking to our own favourite, Christina Costa. Sounds of the Bazaar, live from Berlin. Now, regular listeners to Sounds of Berlin will certainly know the name of Christina Costa. Not many of you heard her voice, because Christina usually is the person in our chat room. She sits there typing away. Now, we're going to reveal to you today the voice of Christina Costa, who perhaps appropriately is going to be talking to us about storytelling. Over to you, Eileen, talking to Christina.
And beginning with storytelling, that reminds me on having heard a conversation where people from Africa were telling that they were usually sitting around in front of the fire camp and telling themselves stories. And so they have developed an own saying, saying that by sitting in the dark, we will raise blind men. That means without this campfire and without the storytelling, we will not educate our people. And this is such an amazing saying, Christina. And you are dealing with how to develop the storytelling in the e-learning world. What do you think about it?
You're absolutely right. Storytelling has been around since ever. It's probably one of the most effective ways of learning because it's a way to engage the learners not only in listening but also creating their own narratives. And I think that's the added value of the digital technologies, is the fact that you kind of transfer roles. You transform yourself from listener to creator of your own relatives in ways of your own narratives, and developing ways that you can actually relate to your own learning, creating your own context, and making it not only personal but personalizing your own learning. And my presentation today will be in this direction. And it's funny enough that you've talked about the fireplace and sitting around, because that's actually my my kind of childhood memory, sitting around the fireplace and listening to stories that were told by my grandfather. And that was such a cozy environment that I was in. And I have been able to engage in similar environments now online, where I kind of create my own stories for my own learning. And that's one of the topics that I'll be talking about. But other ones is how we can also facilitate this kind of environments for students to create their own stories and create their own fireplaces that they can engage other people to learn with.
Do you have some catchy methods on it? What do you would recommend for doing the storytelling online?
There's as many ways as many learners, and I think that there's no ideal way to create a story, a storytelling strategy, but there are indeed many, many, many ways. And we have to basically try to understand what the needs of the learners are, the ways that they are best engaged with, and then take it from there. And I'll be talking about several different examples. I can give you one of the examples that I've worked with was with disadvantaged young kids, where we used avatars for them to recreate themselves and learn about themselves while sharing it with others. And so it's a way of creating engaging environments in engaging contexts, in contexts that they feel they belong to. So I cannot really, I'm sorry, I cannot really give you a one-fit-all recipe, but I think it's about engaging and about being part of that kind of context so that we can understand better our learners.
It's also challenging the new, the old teacher paradigm, because beforehand, teacher were the one storytelling or explaining, and now you're saying that each pupil, each student has a story to tell, right?
Yes, well, it's, I think, like in one of the keynotes today, people are saying times are moving much faster than ever before, and as we all have experienced in the past when we sat around fireplaces with our own grandparents, they were the ones telling stories. Now we're already becoming the grandparents almost of getting the same kind of roles as our grandparents, but in a much faster way. And it's basically, it's about shifting roles, but learning with each other, because I think too that we're all teachers and we're all learners. And I think that's what the fireplace, the fact that we sit around, the fact that there's no, in a way, we're trying to break the barriers of and hierarchies, and we're trying to make a world a little bit more flexible and more and cozier for everyone. So.
Maybe it would be a good new way for any kind of conference, like the online Educa conference, to set up fireplaces for the participants. Back to you, Graham. Thank you, Christina.
Thanks, Chris. Great to have you on the show. A little bit about Sounds of the Bazaar. People have asked us who we are. Are we a service provider? Are we a private company? Whatever. Well, Sounds of the Bazaar is supported by Pontedesque, which is a small research organisation based in Wales. But Sounds of the Bazaar, as it is more of a collective. It's a group of people who are passionate about online communication, online media, and about using particular internet radio. And we also welcome more people working with us. It's absolutely wonderful today to have a group of people coming, presenting on the programme. And Ilona's one of those programmes, who is doing the next interview? Marin is one of the persons who's wandered along today to help us at the programme. Great to have you here, Marin. And she's going to be talking to Orf Daniel Ellers, an old favourite of ours from the podcast days of Sounds of the Bazaar. Welcome back over on the programme, and over to you.
Hello, Orf. Thank you for having you on the show here. So maybe you can say something to you personally. Why are you here? What is your profession? What are you interested here in the online education?
Thank you very much. First of all, I would like to congratulate all of you because continuity is, in times of Web 2.0, already a success in itself. And so to be here as Sounds of the Bazaar on the Online Educa, a continuing element, that's really great. So congratulations to you, and thank you for doing this great job, first of all.
Thank you.
So actually, I'm here on the Online Educa because from the European Foundation for Quality in E-Learning, we ran a series of events this year, the last years as well, in which we try to, let's say, talk to our international partners and our global audience also, and to embed them into activities which we are doing, into dialogues. And for us, this is really a serious issue. We really take this serious. What we did on practical terms is we had a pre-conference workshop, and the workshop was called Advancing the Quality Landscape, because we feel that quality today in e-learning is less and less a matter of fixed standards, of fixed criteria which come from the outside, but it is really becoming a dialogue, a participation of stakeholders coming together under the umbrella of the quality question, trying to answer it, trying to discuss their values. What are we aiming at with education? Where do we want to go? How do we want to use ICT to innovate what we are doing? And this is actually the forum we try to build for the members of the European Foundation for Quality in E-Learning, also for interested other persons, of course, to come in and to listen what we are doing. We try to get to bring with us some, let's say, spotlights. We had some project from the field of higher education. It's called UNIQUE. It's a certification, a label for universities. The University of Leicester, for example, with Jilly Salmon, she just received it this year for an excellent innovative use of ICT in higher education. We also had a project from a totally different field, the adult learning field, which is an informal field where people, parts in their job, parts out of their job, are learning and using ICT in a totally different way than they would use it in higher education and structured programs, for example. And the question of quality is interesting there as well. It's much more naturally connected to innovation and to changing things differently, to address people. Adult learners, they don't want to be taught. They also want to be teachers themselves. They want to share their own practices, their experiences. So quality in this field is something completely different. And a number of other projects we try to bring in, and then we were opening the floor and asking the people to choose their topic and to discuss this topic and to come up with their own experiences. And that's the way we try to, let's say, reach out to people and to embed them into a dialogue and to be a little bit a moment of quality in the conference, you can say, where people have this topic as their relevance point.
Oh, very interesting point, I think, especially that you emphasize on the broad perspective we have to have on education. So it's not only the one thing of one being a teacher and pupils listening. It's about participation and discussing and deliberation, so to say. And I think we can broaden the range of application for online education into a broader terms and to bring together really different stakeholders together. So not only from the point of different professions, but maybe also from the point of different countries, different cultural backgrounds. Do you have any ideas for this?
Well, yes, actually, that's another point of continuity, because in the last years I was here at Sounds of the Bazaar to report from an initiative which we are running, not from the university where I'm working or from the European Foundation for Quality only, but which we are running with, I think, meanwhile, about 30 partners. And this is an initiative called Science Connect, in which we are bringing together African universities, teachers, students, lecturers, and European universities, teachers, students, lecturers, because we felt that on our travels, we always meet people who are concerned with the question, how can we bring higher education to the forefront, bring higher education into a role in which it is actually playing the role of the developing engine for societies. And we felt this is a position the universities in our societies can only take over if there is an international network which is strengthening them, if there is an international collaboration, if there's excellence exchanged, so to speak, the good ideas exchanged, the innovative ideas exchanged. And so we tried to form a network. It's www.science-connect.net, under which we now have over 600 researchers, students, in a Web 2.0 environment, sharing their ideas, being mentors for each other. They each have a point on a global map, and this point means I am ready for sharing international. I want to get in contact. And we believe we share all the values together, that this world and the urging problems of this world can only be shared and solved in collaboration and not in isolation. And that's why we created Science Connect. It's running. Go there, have a look, and get the feeling.
Ulf, amazing. Thank you very much to be with us.
Thank you. We've got great stuff lined up today. I'm delighted to say now we've got one of the keynote speakers from this morning's session, Arto Diro from Young Digital Planet. And he's going to talk to us about one of the hot themes from this year's conference about e-publishing. Over to you.
All right, so hello, you had a very good keynote today. I was really fascinated by your presentation, a very interesting topic. Could you tell more about what you said today to the audience that didn't hear your presentation in a nutshell?
I don't think I can say more, but I think the major message we wanted to bring here is that what we really have to take care about now is learning by ourselves. So publishers, teachers should learn, and the best source of that knowledge are probably our learners. They are very much ahead of us. I just made a joke that they are probably leaving us behind. So the best way now for us to survive, to just be in touch with them, is to learn from them how they learn, what the technology they use, and try to follow simply.
Okay, so what do you think exactly the trend is going to be in e-learning, and how does it connect to your company, to what you do?
I very much believe that the digital revolution brings a transition from the content product providers to the service provider. So it means that we publishers, but also all the educators, should treat the education more as a service than like anything that we sell to them. So this is one thing, and to migrate in this direction is a really an important change for all of us, for educational institutions and also for the companies who are publishing educational material. What is even more interesting that today we treat as education as a service to our teachers. But I try to persuade everyone here that we should more or less servicing students and young learners. These are those who are going to learn by themselves. These are those who are going to just help each other, publish content, use it and reuse it. Okay.
Thank you very much. And what do you think about online educa and the format, the exhibition and the discussions? What is your... the impressions that you got this year?
We are exhibiting at Educa and speaking here for quite a long time already, and we believe this is a very good mixture of exchange, kind of a forum of exchange information between publishing industry, educational industry, and the academics, researchers, and those who are really, really working with students and the learners. So I think it's a good mix. We are very, very much admiring it.
Okay, and what do you wish for online Educa 2010? What should change? What should be better? What topics do you wish?
That's a very difficult question because every year we have a different situation. But I still think that online education should keep its leading role in terms of discussing and researching changes that are happening in the educational industry. And I think what is a little bit missing here is a voice of the students, of learners, a little bit. I would, if you just have a, if I just asked to do any suggestion, I would just say, bring some more learners here.
Okay, that's a great suggestion. And thank you very much. I think you have a meeting, so you have to hurry, right? Okay, so enjoy, and I hope next year we'll have more learners and we'll hear the voices from the bases, so to say, from students and learners themselves. This was a very good message. Thank you. Back to you, Graham.
Yeah, some great stuff on today's programme, isn't there? I've just been talking to our producer, Dirk Stieglitz, because, as you know, Sounds of the Bazaar, live from Online Educators, available as a podcast after the programme. But we're wondering even if we're trying to provide access to each of these interviews individually. Now, I've got two lined up now. We've got so many people wanting to go on the programme. I've got to first briefly go over because I want to bring an old friend of ours onto the programme. This is the woman known as Cosmo Cat, known across all the world on Twitter as Cosmo Cat. Cosmo is not a cartoon figure. Cosmo is a real person. We've hunted her down and we've got her on the radio today. So here we are, Maria, talking to Cosmo.
Hello. Well, we have here Sahira Nuira and welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Graham, for this presentation. I'm getting red, blushing here. So, I'm really glad. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you very much.
My name is Sahira Nuira. I'm working with the United Nations University, and everybody knows me as Cosmo Cat on Twitter. So,
Is it the first time that you attend the conference here?
Yeah, it's my first time, and I'm really glad I made it to come here to see my friends live and also to discover about all the atmosphere at the conference. This is great. I mean, a lot of exhibition and a lot of interesting things. A pity we cannot attend everything, but then still, I'm really enjoying it.
So your expectations about this conference are fulfilled for at this moment?
Well, so far it has been really interesting. As I said, I work for the United Nations University, and I'm there as an e-learning assistant, so a lot of projects are going on. What I'm looking for is for my future projects. They're about doing some content and some interactive stuff, so we're doing some videos, podcasts. I've been in a session where they explain how to do that in the context of higher education for students, and so far it's been very interesting, and I'm looking forward to this session that is following this morning and also this afternoon. And
any of the keynote speakers that you really enjoyed?
About the keynote speakers, I've been very impressed because they used, I think two of them used sounds, videos, and I'm a music fan, so I was really amazed by this little guy who was doing his music in his bedroom. But also, I was struck by some of the statistics, and I think we're going the right way concerning e-learning. There's still a lot to do, but I think the three of the keynote speakers were just impressive.
So some of the issues that have arisen from this conference would be for you?
Well, actually, they were all, talking about the changes and also how we are most of the time afraid of these changes. And in my section, I work for the Vice Rectorate in Europe for the UNU, and my section is responsible for capacity building, using e-learning as a capacity building tool and integrating such let's say, new concept into universities is very challenging. We've been hosting a workshop on that, work a lot with universities in Africa, and the challenge of integrating it and the challenge of meeting methods is something it's an issue, and I'm glad I saw people talking about it and talking also about the alternatives, and I hope I'm getting something with me home to build upon it.
That's also the purpose of this conference, to exchange ideas, share opinions, find new things for the future. That's the case. So I probably shouldn't ask this, but you really recommend this conference for other people to come, I suppose.
Well, let me think. Sure, I do. And I have to be here next year, and I'm really looking forward to this afternoon, but also next year. People, if you can come, just come. There are great people here, and a lot to do.
We would like to have a workshop from you or a presentation next year, and take another interview from you and tell us what you did this whole year for good work. So nice to meet you, so nice and kind words for us, for you. Thank you very, very much. I wish you all the best, and enjoy your stay here to Berlin for one day more, I think.
Yeah, for one day more. Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you, guys. You're doing a great job, and see you soon.
Thank you.
Sounds the Bazaar live. Live internet radio, live from Berlin, online Educa Berlin, live radio. It's a very busy conference. This is probably the best online show I think we've ever done. I've got to dive off now because I've actually got to chair a session with Christina Costa in 10 minutes. But I'm going to hand over to the wonderful crew we've got on today's programme. It's been really great. We've got more lined up. We've got another two interviews lined up, so don't any of you go away. I'm handing over. This is Graham Atwell signing out from Online Educa, Sounds of the Bazaar. But on with the show. Over to Eileen.
And over to Helen. Helen, we have heard so many times that the new trend in e-learning is social networking. And you have done a lot of research on how to integrate Web 2.0 into learning.
Yes, I have. I do a lot of work with students, helping them to develop a professional digital identity using a variety of social technologies.
What's a critical point in developing a digital identity on the net for students?
I think a lot of the time it's the awareness of the invisible audience and the idea of the publicly private and the privately public. And I think a lot of our learners are very, very good with social networking technologies for socializing. But if they actually look at themselves from a kind of employment perspective, they don't always like what they see. So it's about kind of renegotiating the, almost like the front page of the Google search, making sure that the really good stuff comes up.
And would you suggest to divide a digital identity, or is there a way to get your private identity together, work hand in hand with the professional identity?
Yeah, I mean, you can do that, definitely, and I try and do that. I kind of have two accounts on lots of platforms, but to be honest with you, it becomes very tricky because it takes a lot of time to maintain multiple accounts, and also it becomes increasingly difficult to separate your identities online because everything is so, you know, the way that the data is linked up, it becomes very, very difficult to maintain two separate identities. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it actually can become more trouble than it's worth, so yeah.
And I remember an interesting comment from you in the session about, again, digital identity. And you were keen on supporting Graham's notion that lurking is a process of learning itself.
Absolutely, yeah. I think it's really interesting because we use the word lurking, and And there's quite a stigma attached to lurking. And I think in learning, we accept that lurking is part of learning. Lots of our learners lurk. They might not necessarily be actively communicating, but they're still learning in a kind of passive way. But there's this other idea of lurking. And I think it's really come to the fore, again, with social networking platforms, because lots of people will spend time lurking. And it's essentially voyeurism and snooping and just checking other people out. And that takes a lot of time. And it's not necessarily directed to work-based or classroom-based learning. So I think there are definitely different shades of lurking. Good lurking and bad lurking. But I'm actually a fan of lurking, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Helen. And we have a new next interview going on e-participation and e-democracy, because this is what it's learning about, making people a good and responsible citizen.
Right, thank you. So hello, Marin Lupke. Tell me, why are you here at Online Educa? What do you do?
Thank you for inviting me. And I'm working for the TuTech Innovation GmbH in Hamburg, and we do e-participation. So the whole area of online education is, so to speak, in the border from our core business. But we also do and try to do e-participation processes, online discussion processes, e-deliberation processes, for example, at schools to let pupils discuss biotechnologies, the risks and the advantages of the new biotechnology technologies. So we are kind of in the border of online education.
This sounds really interesting. E-participation. Can you give us an example of one of your projects, and so that the other also get the sense of what e-participation is about?
Yes. From a general point of view, we are trying to grasp the innovative potential of the citizens and to present to them new ways of participate in the political processes. For example, we do a participatory budgeting where we let people discuss the household of their city and let them have their say on where the money should be spent, which parts of the public households have priority, which are less important for them. So this, or we do urban planning projects, or from a more broad sense, we are asking people how should their city improve to be more family friendly.
All right. So what do you think are the areas where you wish more e-participation? What areas of society, of general areas, where do you wish more e-participation?
In general, in every area, I think we need more e-participation, because e-participation is a new way to bridge the gap between the formal political processes who are lacking on interest and on participation. And with e-participation, we are trying to grasp and to catch up the kind of grassroots movement we can see now on the web 2.0. So we are trying to bridge those both ways of engaging politically.
And what do you think, how can e-participation be used in the context of education and schools in particular? Do you have any solutions to this? How can this be organized? What can you do to give more e-participation in education?
I think the similarities are obviously, because education doesn't mean that you have a teacher talking to pupils and you have pupils listening, but it's about discussing, it's about participating, it's about deliberation, it is about arguing. So e-participation means and foster online discussions and discussing and arguing and doing argumentation and doing deliberation is, I think, a very, very important educational tool. So this is what is it for.
Okay, thank you. That's a great message. And I hope we will have more e-participation in the future. Back to you.
And this was the end, and I'm going to try to make Graham presentable. These are the sounds of the bazaars. Thank you for listening.
Penso a te, penso a me, ai nostri sogni e progetti, alle tende che non volevi ogni volta che lo guardo. Penso a te, penso a noi, e tra di mente a tuo essere alfa.